And staying with the news, a short time ago I spoke with the author and adjunct professor at Georgetown University, Tara Kangaloo. She's previously lived in Iran for 20 years, and I asked her to outline first what her contacts were telling her as the Israeli bombing raids continued.
Paul, I don't think anyone, civilians in particular, wants to be bombed. I don't think anyone in Iran wants to see their loved ones killed, family members displaced, and that's what we are seeing. I have been in touch with ordinary citizens in Iran over the past week, and the consensus is we are angry at our regime. We have paid the blood and sweat rising and risking our lives on the streets and our peaceful protests over the years. We don't agree with them, but at the same time, we don't want to be bombed. We don't agree with the aggression of Israel and the United States. So that is a general consensus. And on top of that, earlier I spoke with this morning with a young journalist in Iran. She's also a teacher. And she said, people are united. The civil society has united. And there's a distinction between rallying around the flag and rallying around the regime. The public is quite resentful toward the Islamic regime. And I think that has been very evident over the years. But this occasion has united them together. You see people passing food, bread, juice as folks are stuck in traffic, or, you know, the bakeries are giving free bread. People have united in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that's indicative of the love that we have for the nation, separate than their attitude toward the government.
We see that there were demonstrations against Israel today, but is there any way to gauge just the support level that it retains?
Listen, I've covered the nuclear talks in Iran in 2015. I was born and raised in Iran. So Friday prayers, you always have a group that, again, rally behind the regime. And these are the usual suspects that, you know, they chant death to Israel, death to the United States. Now, the protests, or rather the march that we're seeing in Tehran as we speak, sure, some include regime loyalists that are a minority in Iran. And I think this is important. The staunch regime loyalists, the IRGC supporters, are quite small. But those in power within the IRGC apparatus control everything, you know, the finances, the money, the military, the arms. So they are not going to give up power easily. But is it true to say ordinary Iranians are also amongst marchers? Maybe. But I think what's important to emphasize is even if ordinary citizens are not part of that march today, what we're seeing, and if they're all regime insiders, what is, again, very clear is that ordinary Iranians want to have determination of their own faith themselves. Iran has some of the brightest and most talented people who are actually in prison right now. So they want the right to self-determination. They don't want the power to be taken away from them by the government or that of really foreign aggressors.
Just touching on that topic, my sense from a visit in Iran in 2014 was that while people may not like the regime, they certainly didn't also believe that countries like the United States had necessarily their best interests at heart either.
Of course. Listen, history is our best friend, right? Iranian people remember what happened in the last 100 years in their country with Reza Shah, with then his son, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the coup of 1953 that was orchestrated by the United Kingdom and the United States. So people remember this, right? So everyday Iranians are educated. Despite all the repression, they understand what's going on in the world. And they know very well that no one really, whether it be Russia, China, US, UK, they don't have their interest at heart. They have their own interest at heart. And again, a quote, a direct quote from this young woman I spoke with earlier. She said, "We have paid with our blood and sweat. We have paid with our lives." She said, "I was beaten in 2009 protests. I was beaten in the 2022 protests. But I don't want another country and regime to decide for me, whilst I also don't want this regime to stay in power in the form and shape that it has right now. So it is nuanced, it is complicated. But again, we have a country of 90 million people. This is important. 90 million ordinary Iranians are caught between the lunacy and aggression of two, you know, extreme powers.
Iran's future, to a certain extent, hangs in the balance as talks get underway in Geneva today in relation to its nuclear program. What do you think is the likely future?
I think based on what we've seen in the last week, things are extremely fluid. Anything can happen. Anything can change. But what I can say with certainty is that everything that Israel promised to do, they've delivered. And yesterday they said, the defense minister, he said, the supreme leader of Iran should no longer exist. Does that mean that they're going to eliminate him and take him out? We have to wait and see. Is that going to jeopardize diplomacy? I think we have to wait and see. Maybe there's a deal made with the Iranian government that, you know, will help you get rid of IRGC and help bring you guys to power. Or maybe the U.S. has a plan B of bringing someone from the outside. Or, listen, maybe the Israelis attack Fardo nuclear plant, and I think then we're going to see the Iran's aggression heightened. So again, it's a very fluid situation. Wait and see. But fundamentally, I think much of it, 99.9%, depends on U.S. President Donald Trump.
And that was the Iranian-American journalist and academic Tara Kangerlou.